Very powerful words we hear from the readings today. First reading from Book of Wisdom says that God formed man to be imperishable, to be immortal. The image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to it experience it. It seems to me that you and I, if we pay close enough attention to our spiritual lives, also experience the effects of death and life in our daily life. Take, for example, this past week. The struggles, the fights, both internal or external, the sadness, the loneliness, the fears are, in a way, us experiencing death. Likewise, the joys, those moments of compassion, of forgiveness, of transcendence that you and I have experienced, also our way of experiencing life. And so death is not something that happens to everybody else but me, or something that will eventually happen. Death can also be experienced by the subtle suggestions of the evil one in our lives, just like life can be truly experienced by the subtle suggestions of the spirit in our lives. Today's story from the gospel speaks of two women. Two women in the brink of despair. One is a 12-year-old girl, daughter of Jairus, and the other is a woman who also for 12 years has suffered an illness. Note, they're both called daughters. One is a daughter of Jairus, the other is called daughter by Jesus himself. And so there's resemblance to both stories. You can compare and contrast. But overall, it's a story of despair. Either directly or indirectly, they approach Jesus as a last resource. So, for example, Jairus. He is a synagogue official, the head administrator of the synagogue, president of the board of elders, who coordinates all the services. He's one of the men in charge. You could even say that he was one of the people who believed that Jesus was a heretic, an instigator, starting up a revolt. Representing the synagogue, he took that position. But in his despair, he had to abandon all those positions, probably put his work on the line, and seek Jesus out for the sake of his daughter. Everything's on the line. As a last resource, he looks for Jesus. And then there's the woman, a hemorrhaging woman who's been declared unclean. For 12 years, she's been struggling with this illness. She's spent all the money she has. She probably lost her husband and her children. Because to be declared unclean was to be shunned upon, ostracized by society. So imagine the suffering socially, spiritually, personally that this woman felt. She had lost everything. And see, any form of blood or any discharge of the body was a reason to be declared unclean. That's why the Blessed Virgin Mary went to the temple for purification after giving birth to Jesus. But this woman for 12 years could not find a cure. And the reason behind that was to believe that it was a sin. In her life or in her past lives of her parents, grandparents, but she was carrying a sin. So there was also a spiritual illness there. People would stay away from her like a leper. Don't touch that woman at all. That's probably why she hid from everybody in the crowd. That's probably why she approached Jesus from behind. Maybe she was afraid that Jesus would also pull aside, pull back in disgust. But there was something pushing her. If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. And so, making her way through the crowd, making sure nobody would see who she was, she touches Jesus. The gospel powerfully says that Jesus felt a power leave him, and the woman felt that immediately the blood flow was cut off, dried up. Jesus turns around. "Who touched me?" he says. He knows very well who touched him. Daughter, your faith has made you clean. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. What is it that healed this woman? It wasn't the cloak. It wasn't even her despair. It was the faith of this woman who made her clean. Faith in Jesus Christ, symbolized in her touching his cloak. It's no wonder that health, the word holiness, and the word wholeness all share the same root word. It's about being whole, being one. So in this story of despair and how Jesus Christ is the light that guides these two women, I'd like to invite you to reflect on your illness. Maybe there's something in your life, in your childhood, in your adolescence, or in your present day that has you tied up. An illness that for 12 years has been, like the woman, a source of shame for yourself or for others, of embarrassment. Something that in your eyes has made you unclean, that has dragged on and on. Something in your life that maybe has eroded your hope. Your hope in yourself, your hope in life, your hope probably even in God, in Christ Jesus. Think of that something that has been the source of your spiritual or personal or physical illness. There was a man who went to the zoo when he was a kid, and he was marveled at all the animals. He finally got to the elephants. He was with his dad. The elephants come out, they throw balls here and there, they juggle, they stand on two legs, and then finally they set them aside in their den. And the kid notices that this huge animal, this elephant, weighing thousands of pounds, is tied up by this little chain attached to this little stake 2 feet in the ground. And the kid is marveled at this. Then he sees that there's no wall actually containing the elephant, but a 2 foot high little wall that the elephant could easily climb over or knock down with a kick. He asks his dad why it is that an elephant like that, an animal that size, couldn't just give a strong tug to the stake and be set free. His dad has no response. Finally, they make their way back, and this question has been in his mind. Eventually, he's a grown man, and he takes his children to the zoo, and he sees the same phenomenon. Curiosity compels him to ask the trainer why an animal that size doesn't just give it a good tug and be set free, knock down the wall with a good kick. And this is what he says. Years later, I discovered that, to my luck, someone had been sufficiently wise to come up with the answer. The circus elephant does not escape because it has been attached to a stake just like this one since it was very, very small. I closed my eyes and imagined a defenseless baby elephant fastened to the stake. I'm sure that in that moment, the little guy pushed and pulled and tired himself out trying to get himself free. And regardless of his efforts, he couldn't do it because the stake was too strong for him. I imagined him tuckering himself out and falling asleep, and the next day trying again, and the next day, and the next. Until one day, a terrible day in his history, the animal accepted its futility and resigned itself to its fate. That enormous, powerful elephant that you see in the circus does not escape because, unfortunate thing, he thinks that he can't. He has that memory etched into his mind. And the worst part is that he has never returned to seriously question that memory. Never again did he return to test his own strength. It seems to me that you and I also have those little wooden stakes that we're attached to. Those beliefs that compel us to think that I can't do this. Maybe, like the hemorrhaging woman, we also believe that we have spent all our resources and there probably isn't cure to what I have. probably like Jairus, we believe that our child, our daughter is going to die. It's those things in our lives that manage to bind us to a limiting belief, a preconditioned way of thinking. And we forget that Jesus Christ offers us that freedom. We need to overcome the shame, the embarrassment, and come up in courage to touch his cloak. And I say in courage because the root word of courage, courage in French, comes from heart. We need to live life with heart. If we live life with heart, we need somebody to love, to trust, someone greater than our poor strengths, our poor muscles, and that is trust in Christ Jesus. Trust in that he gives us life even as we can experience death. The trust in his daughter, in his sons, that we are made for such great things. The trust that we have the strength in Jesus Christ to give that stake a good pull, to give that small barrier a good kick. But it's sometimes fear that brings us down. Fear can be one of those good wooden stakes that limit us to grow. It's no wonder that Jesus Christ tells the people around Jairus' daughter, do not be afraid. She's not dead. She's only asleep. What was their conditioned way of thinking? This man has lost it. This girl is dead. And they mocked him. They laughed at him. How can you say that? But it was really fear speaking. How would your life look like if you didn't have fear? Think of it this way. Imagine your life as a non-believer. The same life you're living now, but as a non-believer. You probably would stop going to Mass on Sundays. Maybe stop saying prayers here and there. Now imagine your life as a fully committed disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying to pick up a microphone and go downtown Floresville and start proclaiming the kingdom in the public spaces. Your same life, your same workplace, your same family, your same school, but committed in trustful presence to Jesus Christ. Now that you see both lives, which one does your present life currently resemble more? Probably to our embarrassment, we would say, well, you know what? I go to Sunday Mass and I say a couple prayers here and there. Probably my life resembles more the one of the non-believer than the one of the fully trustful presence of Jesus Christ. How would your life be transformed if you went all in believing in Jesus Christ? If you trusted in him wholeheartedly, with courage, with heart? How would you experience life? What could possibly bring you down? If God is with us, who could possibly be against us? May Mary show us this great joy that it is to trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone. May she show us the courage to come up to him, touch his cloak. May she win for us the wisdom to become fully disciples of Jesus Christ. Sacred Heart of Jesus.